Great news. K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas is almost here.
And the San Bernardino International Airport is ready to make you a VIP.
That's right. Stop by the K-Rock stage for your chance to win a first-class upgrade to the backstage VIP party.
Say hi to us, see the bands being interviewed, enjoy food, drinks, and have a great night with K-Rock and the San Bernardino International Airport.
Plus, visit flysbd.com to find the hottest travel deals on Breeze Airways from San Bernardino International Airport to San Francisco or Provo, Utah.
That's flysbd.com.
See you at the party.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Great news. K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas is almost here.
And the San Bernardino International Airport is ready to make you a VIP.
That's right. Stop by the K-Rock stage for your chance to win a first-class upgrade to the backstage VIP party.
Say hi to us, see the bands being interviewed, enjoy food, drinks, and have a great night with K-Rock and the San Bernardino International Airport.
Plus, visit flysbd.com to find the hottest travel deals on Breeze Airways from San Bernardino International Airport to San Francisco or Provo, Utah.
That's flysbd.com.
See you at the party.
Hey, Rock. Klein Alley Show. Sad news to wake up to, that the legendary music producer by the name of Quincy Jones passed away, 91 years old. And yes, responsible for monster hits, a lot of Michael Jackson stuff, a lot of shows we grew up on as well, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. The list goes on and on and on. And it's very strange because I have lived in L.A. since 2006. And for the most part, I'm as normal gets, Sally, right? Just regular wife, regular kids. I don't do A-list stuff. I don't get invited to good parties unless it's K-Rock related and we're there because we're working. But I've had a few stories in my time in L.A. that would only happen in L.A. They're like my real L.A. stories that I think back, and whenever my friends from back east are like, what's it like in L.A.? I'm like, most days are exactly the same. I go to the grocery store, go to Starbucks, go home, nothing. But then every once in a while, it'll be a story like I ended up playing random tennis with Steve Carell. Like, yeah. I like 5 or 6 stories that stand out as like, wow, that is a weird-ass story.
Or you're like, I saw Pauly Shore in the produce aisle.
Right, like that sort of stuff. But, you know, that's pretty much the extent of it. But my relationship with Quincy Jones is very strange because of all of the people, that I never thought in a million years I would ever, not only ever meet, but ever kind of develop a actual friendship with. I would have said number one on that list is Quincy Jones. Why would I ever cross paths with this man at all?
Right.
Like, he's got so much talent, I have so little. He's responsible for monster successes over the years, I'm responsible for none.
You're complete opposites in every single way.
Opposites in every way.
Everything that guy did was successful.
Everything he touched.
But I think, guy, he likes collaborating. He likes meeting new people and seeking new avenues, right?
Well, it's funny.
That's that kind of like, you know, the vibe I get.
Yeah, he wants to surround himself with weirdos because it makes him, you know, creative.
I think there is something. Someone on the text line said, when I was talking about getting invited up to his house for dinner, they said, oh, he was probably doing like a dinner for schmucks thing where he wanted to invite a bunch of like idiots to see how like the rest of us live, and he was studying us, you know.
You can not believe the size of this guy's nose.
So when I used to work at Playboy for many years, I did a radio show that became a TV show, and the show was on in a bunch of countries, but it was not a show that anyone really ever really watched because it was on Playboy TV. And I was thinking to myself, who even has Playboy TV?
Right.
And
well, Quincy Jones did.
Quincy Jones.
And 12-year-olds.
Quincy Jones.
Yeah.
And 12-year-olds were the biggest fans of Playboy TV, apparently, because I would, for the better part of like 2-3 years, people would randomly come up to me and they would say things like, hey, I was at some event, wherever, a fundraiser or something, and Quincy Jones was there. And when I said that I worked at Playboy or whatever, they said, he would say, do you know Kevin Klein?
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, yeah, I know. Yeah, he works down the hall. And you go, tell him to reach out to me. I want to meet him. This was going on for years. And people would randomly tell me this. And I would think, every time they'd say it to me, I'd be like, what are they talking about? There's no way Quincy
Jones. How are you supposed to do that?
And if you're Quincy Jones, isn't that just something you say, like, to make conversation?
I heard it the first
time. Do you know blah, blah, blah? Tell him I want to meet him.
Right.
All right, I'm going to go.
The first few times I heard it, I was like, these are people effing with me. And then eventually, there was someone that came up to me that worked in the that worked for a record label, and they said, "Hey, I was at some record release, and Quincy Jones was there, and you came up." And I'm like, "This is so weird. This is like the fifth time that someone has said to me that Quincy Jones brought my name up. I've never met Quincy Jones. I have nothing to offer this guy.
And
zero."
It's so interesting that he's that you're so on his mind.
Right, like so. And it's because, apparently, and I found this out after the fact, when I was doing this radio show that was a TV show, he was watching it live every single morning in his, you know, palatial estate. Because
and
that's what he would wake up
on
to.
On how many episodes would you say, percentage-wise, was there full nudity?
Oh, all of them. Not by me, but all of them. And I think that that's probably what kept him coming back. It wasn't me.
Wow.
But regardless, at some point, I said
maybe
to
he thought you held the key.
I said to this person, I said, "Listen, I can't reach out to Quincy Jones. I have no idea how to reach out to him. Here is my number. If you know him or know him through someone, feel free to pass it along." And he did. And later that day, I got an email from an AOL email address. And it was, I'm not going to say his email, but it was basically like, you know, Quincy.
Quincy loves me at AOL.
It was, and he said, "Hey, what's up? It's me, Q. I'm having a dinner party. I'd love you to join." And he gave me the address.
Cool.
And it was like that night.
Oh, really?
And I was like, this is the weirdest thing ever. And I showed it to like, I don't think I was married at the time. I think I showed my girlfriend, my, you know, now my wife. But I was like, this is real? And she's like,
no.
I don't know. She's like, she also didn't really know who Quincy Jones was, so I was explaining to her, like, you know, he's done a lot. She was like, I don't know who that is.
Right. Well, I think this also, it's because I know that it panned out. This is probably why you fall for scams all the time.
This is probably why, because I always think it's going to be like one of these things. So I end up deciding, I ask a few friends, they're like, dude, even if it's not real, you got to see where this is leading. This is crazy. So I drive to this address. It's all the way at the top of, you basically go like to Sunset all the way to where you'd enter to go into like that fancy Bel Air hotel. You go to the pretty much past the road where it says no outlet on the road. Just keep going. That's the directions even said. It just said keep going up.
Whoa.
Just said keep going up.
Like him, like his career.
Yeah, like his career. And you finally get all the way to the top and there's a gate and I hit the thing and I'm like,
Was there anything on the gate? Was it like his initials or anything?
But it's like you have to hit the button, you know?
Yeah,
and
right.
I'm like, hey, I'm here for Quincy Jones. And they're like, what's your name? I'm like,
are you the perv guy? All right, I'll let you in.
I'm like, Kevin Klein? And they go, like, hold on. And then I'm waiting for them to come up and like laugh at me.
Wow.
And be like, you fell for it, the stupid idiot. And then they're like, come on in, we'll take your car. And it was the most surreal, maybe one of the more surreal moments of my life. I get out, I walk into this absurd house, maybe the most absurd house I've ever been inside.
Really?
Yeah, because they explain later that I guess he bought the entire top of the mountain and just
built on it.
Built an entire thing on top of it.
Oh,
I mean, the guy's
cool.
Guy. The guys, think about it. Like every time any
producers
of those,
make bank.
Anytime
man.
Any of those songs have been played over the last 50 years, Michael Jackson hits. I mean, the guy's cashing
well, that's,
in.
Isn't that still the best selling album of all time?
Probably still is. Yeah, you were just talking about celebrities that dead are still making all that money.
Yeah,
and I'm sure he's getting a big chunk of it. So I walk in, and I'm just standing there. Someone comes up. Can I bring you a drink? And I'm still thinking, like, is this a Squid Games operation? What's going on? What exactly is about to happen here? You know, like, and then I see Suzanne Somers.
What?
Yeah, and she walks up
and
to
she's
me.
She's naked.
And no, she's not naked. She's there with her
was
husband.
Was this like a Thighmaster days or
no? This probably was 2012, I'd say.
Okay. 2013. So she was just starting to dwindle.
She's definitely dwindling. Because I thought to myself, I'm like, man, that looks like a worse version of Suzanne Somers. And then she's like, "Hi, I'm Suzanne. Nice to meet you." And then some other strange like characters developed. And I guess you're right. What he liked to do is he would like to throw these, and this is maybe something that like really successful people do. They like to throw these like gatherings where they take a bunch of people that have nothing in common and sit them at a table.
And just talk.
And just let them like communicate or something. I don't know. It was, so I'm talking to her for a little bit, and then there's some other person that apparently is a big deal in China, and then there's a jazz musician. I don't even know
who
all these people are. And and they go, all right, dinner. Someone
God,
walks
what,
around.
So did everyone said what they did for a living, and then you had to answer.
I kept skipping the other people. Like,
all right, Suzanne, now next.
Let
Klein.
That person go again. And then someone walked around with a little bell, like a xylophone bell. Ding, 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 ding. Dinner is served. And by the way, I hadn't seen Quincy yet at all. So I'm thinking to myself, is Quincy even here? I just see all these other people. And then we all go down to some dining chamber, like a dining
room.
Like a dining room situation. And Quincy walks in wearing a bathrobe.
What?
Yeah. And he's like, thank you all for being here at one of my famous dinners. Please.
The doors are now locked.
You are the dinner.
You have 1 hour to escape.
So he goes, please meet, talk to each other, introduce yourselves. And then we're going to do some fun live music up in the living room.
You hate that.
I hated it. And I couldn't wait to get out of there. And you know me, I'm like not good at uncomfortable situations. We're uncomfortable. And so we're just, I'm talking and this and that. At some point, I go, at any point, am I going to get FaceTime with Quincy?
Does he How many people total?
10, 15 people total.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty intimate. And then I decide after kind of sitting there awkwardly eating, I think most people were talking. I was just all about eating. I was like, I got to load up.
What do you serve?
Oh, it's like dish after dish. Rack of lamb. Seafood something and all, I mean, all this stuff is just coming out. And then they put it down. This is what rich people like to do. They put something down, and before you can even eat it, they like another person comes and says, are you done with this now? And they take it away.
What?
This is like what very successful rich people do.
Because I think you just want a bite.
I think they just want to show you they have it. and every time.
Now show a poor person you know before I put it in the trash.
And so they'd put it down, and I would be like, I got to eat all this, you know? And then I'd see another person come like out of like the left side of me and be like, all right, are you done with this now? I go, but the guy just put it there.
Oh, my God.
And everyone else was allowing them to just do this like song and dance. And I was trying to eat it. So as they'd clear the plate, I'd like jam the fork in it and grab it. Like, all right, take the plate. And then afterwards, so everyone, he goes, desserts, drinks, and music will be served upstairs.
And so, he had not said hi to you?
No, not even a hello yet. And I walked up and I said, Quincy, I'm Kevin Klein. Apparently you've been trying to find me for 3 years. Here I am. And he goes, did you enjoy the dinner? And I said, yes, it was very good. Thank you. And he goes, are you ready for the music?
Aww.
And I said, I think so. And he goes, all right, you sit with me. And
aww.
I sat next to Quincy Jones on a couch.
Wow.
And he had some guy come in. This didn't get sexual. No, Omar's trying to make it sexual.
310, it was a Quincy freak-off.
It was not a freak-off.
Did that baby oil.
There was no baby oil. And then he brought in this piano player that I think he flew in that day from Chile or
God,
something.
God, I wonder how often he did this.
And the guy just started like wailing on the piano, and you could see how into it Quincy Jones was, just watching a musician just really.
Oh, man, I bet your awkward head bobbing was at its prime.
I could not wait, and I really kind of wanted to leave because, first of all, I ate way too much of the food, and I knew I had to dump out.
There's nothing you hate more than just listening to a piece of music with a small group of people.
I don't know how to react. I don't know where to look. I'm not into it. Like, he's really jamming on the keys here.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell people are into it. And
are people supposed to get up and sing or what?
Well, they're not songs anyone ever. It's just he's doing like
so people are just watching live.
Watching.
Okay.
But everyone seems to know what they're doing.
I wasn't sure if it was like a jam session where people were supposed
And I decide I'm going to get up and walk out. I got to get out of here. And I start walking towards the door and Quincy goes, where are you going? And I said, well, this was a nice night. I got to get home. I got a dog to walk. And he gets up and he comes to the door. He says, why don't you come back tomorrow so we can chat?
What?
I swear to you, Allie. I swear to you. The weirdest thing that ever happened.
That's so strange.
So I leave, and then the next night I come back, and it's just Quincy and I. And we're talk for 2 hours.
Wow.
Whoa. And he's explaining to me his whole story, and then he gave me like a care package. Like I won a game show, and I got a bunch of stuff in my house. I'll bring some. He like gave me his whole... he's got a bunch of merch, I guess. Quincy merch.
He
gave me like a bunch of merch, and
what is it, like him on a mug?
And
what
he
kind
wrote
of merch is
like
it?
Like records
vinyls?
And
wow,
vinyls
cool.
And books he wrote, and he hand wrote notes to me, long notes to me. I swear.
He's telling you about his career. Like, what are you talking about to him? Like, was he wanting to pick your brain about
No, I had nothing to add. He would say, and that's when I told Michael Jackson, you should be a singer. And he said, I don't want to be a singer. I want to be a juggler. And I'm like, you're going to be a singer. And I was like, dude, similar story. My buddy wanted to go into sports gambling, and I told him, you should work at his stories are so epic, you know?
Right.
But it was the most out of place I've ever felt in my entire life.
And but then, nice guy.
And then he said to me at one point, he said, hey, I like that show you do with all them Playboy girls. I said, thank you, Quincy. And he goes, if you ever want to have a party at my place, you can basically...
You cannot attend and bring all the Playboys and all the women.
Yeah, that's what he said. So that's my Quincy Jones story.
Wow.
Fascinating.
Crazy. And now he's dead.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.